most annoying one is that there are some people out there, unfortunately, that just don't give a damn. Don't be that guy. It's really so simple, guys. Your expertise does not entitle you to anything.
You're listening to The Deep Dive. I'm Vanessa Green. Each week, we explore the world of South African fishing together, sharing expert advice, different ways to cast and catch, and the latest buzz from the water. Let's get into it.
So hey guys, welcome to another deep dive, and with all the fishing going on, all the action going on, there's so much of excitement and buzz and new anglers to the sport over this winter period in KZN. We thought it would be fitting to talk about some of the ethics that should be out there, some of the camaraderie spirit that we should have. And today, joining me as our guest is Mr. John Otto. John, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Vinesh. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. It's good to have you on our podcast. We missed you since the last one. You always saw influential. And I thought, as I'm putting this together for ethics amongst anglers, one of our senior authorities of the sport, you'd be perfect for it. So let's get into it. Let's talk about some of the ethics one should have, not just for their fellow anglers, but also for the environment, for themselves, and for our future generations. I think there's a lot of things that we know but not spoken about, or some of the guys just don't know about it, John.
All of it is true. And unfortunately, we were discussing before we start, the central tenet in this discussion is just be like, don't be that guy. The sign off line should be, don't be that guy. Nature gives us a lot of pleasure. The ocean gives us a lot of pleasure. We have a responsibility to act responsibly towards the ocean and to not pollute it and not to be that guy.
Yes, exactly. So we've all come across that guy. And
yes.
We know they're out there. I guess any sport would have that, but we talk fishing. So let's start off with one of the bigger ones, overfishing. John, catch and size limits, bag limits, undersized catches. I think that's one of the first things as an angler you got to get right with your ethics. We see it, we hate seeing it, but it does happen. Could you elaborate a bit about that?
Sure. What a way to start. I'm going to make myself...
Enough said, would you start them?
I'm going to make myself unpopular right off the first step. Of all of the things we're going to discuss today, I think this is probably the most annoying one, is that there are some people out there, unfortunately, that just don't give a damn. They will catch fish while the fish are biting, and they use all kinds of crackpot excuses to justify the slaughter of a fish. Unfortunately, while the sport is moving ahead in leaps and bounds in technology and innovation and popularity, we are always the caveman level who judge the success of a trip by how many dead fish are in the cooler box. And they don't particularly care about sustainability. They don't care about conservation. Their only mission once they hit the beach is to catch as many fish as they can until their bait runs out. They have no respect for the resource because there's always been fish in their point of view, and there always will be fish. So what is all this high-fangled education, conservation nonsense? These are the kind of guys that you'll get three or four guys that have a certain spot, they'll get a box of sardines and they will wipe out the fish. Blacktail, carantine, shad, it doesn't matter to them. To them, the success of a trip is measured by how many dead fish they take on.
Though we've seen it many times where, even on the ski boating side a couple of years ago, guys were sinking their boats with the amount of fish they had over the limit, and then they're just throwing the dead fish over. That is going back to their ethics. That is completely unethical. I think at the end of the day, when it comes to that, you're just going to have to stay with, just take what you need. If that's all you can eat, you don't have to fill that entire cooler box up with your catches.
Unfortunately, yes. There is a very strong conservation ethic out there that says, take what you need. Some people don't pay attention to it. You're finding more and more some guys that will go out and they see every fish as a 20 rand note. For them, it's no longer really about the fishing, it's about making money. So, you know, like you say, you'll have guys go out, ski boaters, who are not wanting for money or finances. They'll take their $500,000 in ski boat behind their $1 million in Land Cruiser, and they'll go out and they'll catch 20 geelback. And then they'll sneak in and they'll find out that there's a conservation officer waiting for them at the jetty, and they will jettison 20 or 30 geelback so that they rock up at the wharf and don't get arrested. They've killed those fish. Yes. Damage is done. The fact that you don't get caught is a hollow reward for your efforts. Some of the backline boats went through a very bad patch a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where they used to take six guys on a boat and they used to absolutely massacre the shad.
Yeah.
Massacre the shad. The captain says, hey, I'm not judge, jury, and executioner. It's the individuals FX here, they must catch four shad. The guys that are on the boat are saying, bugger that. I've paid 500 rand for my ticket. Yeah. I'm going to catch as many shad as I can to claw back the money. You're turning it into a money-making exercise. Yeah. Where the point is not to catch fish and have fun as a sport, but a commercial enterprise to catch as many shad that you're going to sell for 20 rand a shad, make your money back and pay for next week's trip. That's not fishing.
No, that's not fishing. That's not sport fishing at all. And I think when we're talking about ethics, there's that difference between being a sport angler versus, I don't know what you call the others.
I think the current term is called a recreational commercial. Where if he can only catch two fish, then he's a recreational angler. If he catches 20, then he's a commercial angler. When you suddenly flip over halfway through your trip from being fishing for a pot to fishing for money.
Yeah.
And it's a very nasty transition.
No, sure. All right. Okay. So that there overfishing we spoke about. Then also, I think in line with that is about the handling of your fish. John, over this period, I've seen some guys, we always talk about, you know, make sure your hands are wet and this and that, the other. And then also, it's a way, even if you are going to take that fish home, I think there should be a certain amount of, I don't know if respect is the right word, to respect your catch or whatever it is, but to end its life humanly, if you are going to take it home. But I've seen guys really handle fish badly. You get that fish and you just slam it onto the floor and you just leave it there to bleed out on the rocks. It's not a nice topic to talk about. I think the ethics has been lost with certain anglers. And I think the more awareness we get out to let anglers know, someone can point fingers at the gun how to handle a fish ethically or how to treat your catcher or just respect for the sport.
It is absolutely about respect for the sport and for your quarry, your fish.
Yeah.
Have respect for the fish. If you're going to keep a fish, and I'm not saying you should put all your fish back under no circumstances. Fish are good to eat. It's nutritional. Nothing wrong with enjoying the fruits of your sport. But as you say, there's no need to let a fish flop around on the sand and die a long agonizing death. I don't want to sound like a two-yager. Fishing is a blood sport. So the fish is eventually going to die. That's about you harvesting the fish. You're going to take it home. You're going to eat it. Treat the fish with respect. Kill it immediately. Bleed it on the beach. Your fish is going to taste 100% better. Put it in a cooler box under some ice. Don't leave it on the beach to be dry. Don't leave it on the deck of a boat to turn into a biltong. So make sure it's in the best possible condition to eat and also be humane towards the fish on a different level of respect. I've seen guys fishing for shad and when they catch a shark, they even leave a shark to die on the beach because it's interfering with fish.
Well, yes.
Or they slash the poor fish's jaw open to get their trace back.
Oh, no.
And they don't care because it's not their target species. It's revolting, guys. We have to be better. We don't have to be paragons of virtue, but we have to be better.
This is one of the reasons what triggered the podcast for us to chat about this is because a couple of weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, I had one of our fellow anglers send me a message saying, Vinesh, please. He goes out to fish this morning and there's a gray shark with a trace still in its mouth, but just left on the sand, dead. And I'm thinking, no, that is unethical. We need some education behind this. We need some awareness behind this. So to do something like that is ridiculous. You're on with that shark and you bring it out. Why just leave it out there like that? If you had a way to bring it out, surely you got a way to put it back in.
Honestly, you're not going to take it home. You're not going to eat it. Why leave it on the beach to die? It makes no sort of sense.
Yeah.
And you have guys that actually will catch small skates, will catch small lessers, and they'll just leave them on a beach. Really, even if you don't want to mess with a shark to take your hook out, cut the trace, put fish back in the water, it'll be fine.
Yes.
If you leave it on a beach, it's dead. The damage is done.
Yeah, sure.
And you're not taking it up. You've achieved nothing and you've created a problem. And be that guy. We are users of a resource. We have a responsibility towards using it responsibly. Mm. Not catching too many fish. Treating the fish correctly. Mm. It all feeds into each other.
Yeah.
I have a saying that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything.
Yes.
You cannot be a conservationist and put shad number 5 back in the water and when you leave a shark out to die on the beach. Those two ideas are completely in contradiction to each other.
All right. So now there was respect for our nature. There was respect for our species. We got so much more to talk about, John. We need to round off just now. However, I want to talk about respect for fellow anglers. The camaraderie on the rocks. We see the rocks packed. Lots of rods out right now, side by each other. It's good. It's great for the sport. Lots of new anglers coming in. Now, we're talking about this because it's the sardine run going on and there's a lot of action out there. And a lot of people are getting excited and encouraged about fishing. They want to try it out. However, there should be a certain amount of ethics to new anglers or just a fellow angler that's standing next to you. I saw a great example of this, right? We got you in your new rocks, the shadow coming out. Obviously, we've got the guys on the other side that are fishing for garrick. And the guy gets his garrick, he hooks onto his garrick. And what was great to see was that all the other anglers just pulled out their baits and they gave the guy his space and time to fight his fish nicely, land his fish properly, and bring his fish out and have his moment with whatever he was going to do with that garrick. And then as soon as that was out, then we had the shad anglers going back onto the rocks. When we were fishing for shad lines all over, it's drift traces, it's top bungs, it's throwing spoons. So as much as all that commotion was going on, we saw when there was a big fish on with a fellow angler out there, he was allowed to do what he had to do. So I thought that was a beautiful example of good ethics amongst all those anglers. It's like, all right, yeah, okay, the shad are going to be there all day or whatever it may be, or all morning, whatever. But when someone else was on, give him his space. Now, you've worked with many anglers before on senior levels as well as development levels. Let's talk about the respect one should have for another angler.
I love that example you gave because that is what should happen. You're fishing for shad. Here's a guy with a more noteworthy fish, be it a garrick, be a snook, be a cob. He's got a bigger fish than you. Get out of his way. It costs you nothing. Now, all of us anglers got out of this guy's way. Nobody had to tell him to do it. At a certain level in your sport, the guy with the fish on has got the out of way. Once he's out of your way, you carry on fishing. It requires so little of you. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that stands there, stubborn, refuses to move, refuses to go to cede to the guy with the fish on, and just keep doing your thing. What will happen most of the time is this is one of those individuals that is intent on extracting as many fish as possible, and he doesn't have a shred of consideration for anybody else. He's so locked into his own little world of plunder and catching that he is oblivious to what's happening around him. The other guys have situational awareness. Here's a guy with a garrick. Let me reel in my line quickly. He's moved past me. He's happy. I can now go back to fishing. I'm happy. Yes. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Everybody cooperates. Now, I'll give you another example that I see in my mid-South Coast area, Iloba. You'll have a garrick gang. And I don't use the term in a negative way, but it is what it is. You'll have guys that'll come in there with 2-3 buckets of live baits, 5 o'clock in the morning. And they'll put out 10 rods, fishing 250 meters off the beach.
Yeah.
And they'll cast their sinkers out, and they'll either fish for live bait, or they'll make sure that they've effectively privatized that stretch of beach. They show no consideration for anybody else. They're basically saying, we own this stretch of beach, and you're not allowed to fish here. And invariably, it's a beginning angler that walks in there and catches a shad, and then he gets verbally abused because he's fishing in their stretch.
Yes.
And don't you see my rods are out? Is it really necessary to put 10 rods out at a time? Unless you're 10 guys, in which case, go ahead. But if you've got 3 guys and they're running 10 to 12 rods, that's just being inconsiderate, being that guy.
Yes.
There's miles and miles and miles of beach. We don't all have to be fishing at the same spot. You'll also see it that you walk onto the beach and everybody's put down. You catch a fish. By the time you get back to the water after rebaiting, there's 20 guys standing where you are because you caught the fish. Must be fish have tail. They move.
Fish have tail, you know what I mean? Yes. Yeah.
Don't be that guy. It's really so simple, guys. Your expertise does not entitle you to anything.
Yes.
You don't get to come on at a spot and push somebody away and say, I always fish here. You go up somewhere else. Like you say, you're going to have a weekend warrior who's just new in the game, doesn't have full control of his course. He's going to cast over your line. He's going to use a light sinker. Sidewash is going to wash his line into yours. That does not make him a bad person. That doesn't give you the right to verbally assault him or swear at him or badmouth him. You are not entitled to anything.
Yes.
No matter how long you've been fishing.
Now, guys, we've got so much more to talk about with regards to this. It's about the laws. It's about practicing fair chase. We're going to talk about our environmental responsibility as well as our responsibility to educate our youth and future anglers and essentially fishing for the future. John, any final words to round off about ethics or not being that guy?
I think we haven't touched on one particular area that burns me, and that's the littering thing.
Yes.
Anglers have got a very bad reputation for leaving a mess behind on the beach. They walk onto the beach for all night trip and there's bags of food and drinks and bait and packets, and they walk off and there's sardines, there's boxes, plastic bags, 2 liter bottles, beer bottles, of baits on. Yeah. Come on, guys. We have to be better. Mm. We have to be better. If nothing else, take your stuff off a beach. If you can, spend 5 minutes, pick up somebody else's mess. It all helps.
It does, certainly. I tell all the guys, all you have to do is just clean 1 square meter around you. Just keep that area clean. If everyone does that, we've got that entire rocks clean or that entire fishing area clean. So, yeah, totally agree with you.
Yeah, people say when they remark about the litter, they always say, I wonder what this guy's house looks like. That's an excuse. That is an excuse. Even if your house looks like a pigsty, please don't make the beach look like a pigsty.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is residents will get annoyed with it. They'll have dogs eating hooks. There's going to be veterinary bills. Then those residents get together and they get a local law passed that you can't fish there. And now you get upset because this is now discrimination or gatekeeping or whatever. It all started with you making a mess, but you don't want to take any accountability for that because in your eyes, it's not a problem. It is a problem. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
It takes so little effort. It was heavy when you walked on the beach. I get it that you're tired. Maybe you caught a lot of fish and you're happy. Maybe you caught no fish and you're unhappy. Clean your mess up. It's not asking a lot.
No, that is a perfect way to round it off. John, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your insights. And we are going to continue with this conversation because as there's a lot more you and I need to chat about, but not being that guy and just common ethics to fellow anglers and the environment.
We've just skimmed the surface of the whole topic. Mm. But I think if we get through to some people, then this will have been a successful exercise.
100%. It's all about fishing for the future, John.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. With that being said, until the next one.
That's it for this week on The Deep Dive. If you're after the latest catches and hotspots, don't miss the Angler News SA podcast. Until next time, let's fish for the future.